Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
We continue this series, like a mini-series. We're following up on what we had extensively studied in managing His treasures. Now we're looking at managing His various other resources. And we're looking today at managing God's talents. Let's pray one more time and ask the Lord to bless as we look into the Scriptures together. Father in heaven, we pray that you'd bless this time. And Lord, we know that you have given us all things. Actually, all that we have and all that we are is because of you. May that ever help us to be grateful. May that ever cause us to be humble. And I pray that it will motivate us, move us, Lord, to do all to the glory of God, realizing you have created us for your glory, and for those things we are and have been created to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are looking at this particular topic. It doesn't take long to see that every human being is different and have certain abilities to function in life. Is that true? You look around, you can see if you have children or you're in your family, you have multiple different ways in which people express themselves and as far as what they can do, what they can't do. For the believer, who at the point of conversion has become a new creature in Christ, it says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ. By the way, the if there is not a hypothetical. It's an expression of reality. Can be also translated since. Since any person is in Christ, he is a new creation or new creature. All things are brand new. Old things are passed away. And so when you think about that, this is really important for the Christian. What God has given you, even your talents and abilities, are to be managed in a responsible way. Christ's parable of the stewards in Matthew 25, Luke 19 further illustrates this point. And incidentally, when you look at those passages of Scripture, both of them, they're talking about the distribution of finances or talents, monies. But there's even more to it than that. By the way, when you think of management of the things that God has given to us, it's a character issue and it's a responsibility issue. It's an obligation matter. It's serious because God, who gives us these things, is expecting us an expectation, obligation, that we would utilize them and use them in the way that he would prescribe, in the way that he would want. Because they're his. They're his. And I sometimes think that we fail to recognize that because sometimes we look at things and we get so used to doing and get so used to being that we feel like they're our own. Okay? Well, I want to get back to the place that we realize that God gives us these things and it is for his glory. When we say for his glory, what does that really mean? I know it's a phrase we use often. It's a phrase in Scripture, do all things to the glory of God. What does it really mean? Do it for His glory. Okay, for His praise. What else? Do it for His glory. Okay, yeah. Matthew 5. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What else is involved? To glorify God. Show other people what God is like. Okay, show others how big and what God is like. Anything else? Okay. Yeah. And then you were, somebody else was saying? Yeah, all these things that you're talking about, because when we do things for His glory, That's a very selfless thing. And it's a very God-oriented. So with God in mind, we do what we do to make Him look big. Another way in which that word in the language of the New Testament is translated is boast. What you're doing is in essence it can be a verbal boast of God, but it's also a demonstrative, active boast of God. So what you do and the way that you do it is going to boast about how great your God is, how awesome He is, how magnificent He is, and how glorious He is that He would even give you these abilities, and that you're in turn using them so that when people see you, it's not so much you that they're really seeing. It's God in you. It's God through you. That's why there's oftentimes, I think, we fail to remember that everything that we have and everything we are is because of God. This morning as I'm preparing, and starts right off, as Dawn and I pray, get in the shower, and my mind already, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, I just pray and trust that as I'm getting clean from this water and the physical shower, would you cleanse me? And through the blood of Christ and because of the resurrection, I mean, we're thinking of Easter and all those realities, and I want to set my mind and set my heart on God so that even as I'm in my house doing what I'm doing, it's a reflection of the glory of God and the greatness of God. As I drive my car up to the church building, as I come in here, as I worship with you, as we do what we do, it's a reflection of, and it really is a way in which we are lifting up our God and exalting Him and magnifying Him so that when others see what's going on, that they know that God Himself exists and that God is great and God is worth all that we give Him as far as credit, praise, thanks, and everything else. And so even as people drive by Route 12 and as they see the people coming into the church building or they see a parking lot is full, they see perhaps lights are on, what are they seeing? Oh, activity. Well, may they also see that God, there's a place in which God is being glorified. I remember being in different places on the mission field where their buildings had either no windows or no screens. And when we would have the services, the singing would resonate and the neighbors could hear. I think when we did the parking lot services during the COVID times and with the amplification out there and the resonating of the message, the sermon, we don't do that to bring attention to ourselves, but we do this as an opportunity to let people know that we are worshiping a great and glorious God. Okay, so the talents that you have, getting back to the introduction, when you manage His talents as He tells you, the result then is glorifying God, I should have put that in there, and the fulfillment in relationships, jobs, and ministries that we have. So let's take a look. Just two major points that we want to consider this morning. The one that we look at, God has created you. And you might want to circle that, underline that, highlight that, emphasize that. God has created you with some natural abilities. By the way, that means there should be no one who ever has an issue with self-esteem. Well, put it this way. There are people who have a problem with self-esteem, either too little self-esteem or too much. Okay? But because God has created you, and He's created you as a unique individual. He has created you with abilities and He has created you with some talents. He's created you with some skills. That should cause you to just delight in who God is and how glorious He is and what He has done to do that for you. There's three main areas we want to consider this morning in this point, natural abilities. Number one, these abilities include some mental capacities that manifest themselves in thinking. Okay? Now, again, just remember, every human being is different. Does everybody have the same thinking capacities? Does everybody have the same mental capacities? No, they don't. You may be, as a family, some of you growing up with brothers and sisters. Did you ever have a brother or sister who never really had to study very hard for tests in school. I mean, they heard the material and they sat and they were just acing it. And you'd have to study your brains out and you were glad if you got a C. I remember going through seminary, there were a couple of guys. They never took notes. And I'm taking all my notes and I'm writing it down. And then when it comes to tests, they'd always get A's. Every one of them. They just had a mental capacity that allowed them to be able to process and think and comprehend and remember. Okay, so good for them. We should never, by the way, in the talents that God has given to us and not given us, we should never envy other people, nor should we ever compete with other people. We should be glad that God has given them those abilities. And if God hasn't given you that, hey, he's given you something else that maybe they don't have. Do you know that? And the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 10, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. God has designed specifically to give certain individuals certain capacities, and not everybody has every capacity. Let's look at some of the verses and see how this is manifest. Just a few references. 1 Samuel 25, 4 through 6. Who'd go there? Gary? How about we go to 1 Kings 4, 31? Alex? How about we go to 1 Chronicles 12, 32? Jack? All right, we'll get you next time. But when we think of this, again, just a small sampling. 1 Samuel 25, verses 4 through 6.
David heard in the wilderness that David would shear his sheep. David sent out 10 young men. David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that lives in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thy house, and peace be unto all that thou hast.
All right. So David has a capacity in order to think through this strategy. Now, going further, you will see that Abigail, who is Nabal's wife, hears about this, and she's thinking through the fact that, oh no, we've just spurned David and his men, and she goes into action. So she's got some mental acuity. So you see it on David's part, and you see it on Abigail's part, but you don't see any of it in Nabal. Who am I that I should give unto you, or this and that? So in the thinking capacities, there's no reasoning through. Going through, 1 Kings 4, verse 31.
For he was wiser than all men, and Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about.
All right, so here you have a reference to the ones who are wise. In order to have mental capacities and knowledge and ability to put that knowledge into practice. And then you go to 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32.
And of the children of Issachar, who were men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were under their command.
All right, so there you have a reference to Issachar. So when you think about this, it refers to seeing, evaluating situations, exercising discipline, organizing, administrating, recalling, memorizing facts, creative problem solving. It's displayed in some of those mental areas like reading and spelling and vocabulary and writing and math and logic, creativity, science, memory, and managing. Now, you may be sitting here and saying, wow, I don't have a lot of that. And others would think, whoa. Just by giving you an example, there's this uncanny reputation I've developed that when somebody wants to know a phone number, for whatever reason, numbers come easy to me. Okay, what's the phone number? Okay, I just spout it out. And for whatever reason, math. I love math. I love working with numbers. I love that part of it. Not everybody does. People look at it and say, you're weird. Okay? But that's just something that I got. Some of you may not have. And I don't want to ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you had a real difficulty when it came to spelling? Or how many of you had an ease of spelling? Or how about writing? Writing just flows from your pen. And others, you really got to struggle to put four words together. What this means is this. If God has gifted and talented you with these natural abilities, you use them for the glory of God. If he didn't give it to you, it can be developed, but over the course of years, those who were not very good at spelling are still probably not very good at spelling, no matter how hard they try, right? Yeah. Those who aren't really good at math are probably still not very good at math. So what do? Do you try to force something and frustrate yourself? Because no, you say, Lord, I thank you that you've given it to others. Maybe I should borrow from them and lean on them, as opposed to frustrating myself and thinking that I'm going to do it. Okay? Piano playing. I watch my girls, and they're gifted pianists. I look at them and I just don't understand how they can know that on the musical score, this means this. And then down below this, this means this. And they're not even looking. And the keys don't even have letters on them. You can't even tell. They don't even have letters. Okay, there's no pictures. You just got to know it. I don't have it. Oh, Pastor, you don't. It just didn't come. Therefore, I accept that. I saw a hand.
Where's the line? You said we shouldn't envy it. But where's the line where you recognize you're good at math and then you're managing a task and it's a math task and you take that person who's good at math and put them on the math task?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the line from recognize and respect and envy?
Are you asking where do you...
Well, you're not supposed to envy their talent.
Correct. Or be jealous.
So I'm tasked with something that's math-oriented and I think.
Yeah.
Not true, but I think that. And I say, Pastor, can you help?
Yeah.
Can you help? Is that, that's recognizing the talent, but that's not envy, right?
Oh, no. No. That is called wisdom. Because if you can't do it, find somebody who can. And you know what else is really beautiful about this? God puts us all together... And not everybody is alike, so that we have to help each other. Isn't that what family is about? Isn't that what a marriage is about? Isn't that what your job is about? Yeah, yeah. Exactly it. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But what you're looking at and considering, the individuals here who have these research and development... a lot of the thinking things, and that's where a lot of those jobs are. And if God has given that to you, praise the Lord. If God didn't, praise the Lord. And don't, like you were saying, don't be envious and jealous of people who have what you don't have. Much like they should not be envious and jealous of you for the things that you have. Because if you're great with numbers, and the other thing is don't flaunt and boast and draw attention to yourself of the things that you have. To the praise of God's glory. To the praise of God's glory. Linda.
Again, instead of always viewing it as I don't have, then to I need help, is again for each of us to know what, recognize our talents and even have others that we would understand each other's talents. Because again, if not, then the body's arguing, I'm not a hand, so I'm no good.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But the hand needs to be the hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, we all have parts. So instead of us thinking, oh, I lack,
yeah,
we should be looking at what we have.
Well, exactly true. Because if the hand looks and says, man, I'd rather be a foot. No matter what the hand tries to do, it's never going to be a foot. And if it keeps on wanting to be a foot, it's going to fail to function as a hand.
Without a foot.
Exactly right. And neither could it grab without a hand. So it all works together. And if you don't have certain things, well then praise the Lord. If you have certain things, then you praise the Lord and use them. And if you need help in those areas where you don't have, then you find somebody and you seek it. And that's what the body dynamic is all about. And so be content. That's one of the things that we've learned. Be content with what things you have. The next area. What about physical things? All right. These, the abilities include physical skills that incorporate themselves in certain activities. Let's look, Genesis 4:22. Let's look at the, who take that one? 4:22, Eric. How about if we do 1 Samuel 13, 19 and 20, Michael? And then we go to 1 Samuel 17, 4 through 7. All right, Jim. And then we get to Acts 19, verses 24 and 25. Michaela. All right. So when you're thinking of physical abilities, God has given some people physical capacities, hasn't given to some others. Okay? So let's look. Genesis 4:22.
And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah.
Okay, so now this man had two different skills. One, he was able to manufacture musical instruments. Number two, he was able to play musical instruments. And number three, he was able to teach and help. So you have a physical capacity to manufacture. 1 Samuel 13:19-20.
Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. The Philistines said, let the Hebrews make swords or spears. But all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plowshare, his mattock, his axe, and a sickle.
All right, so you have someone who has the capacity to work with metal. And that's a physical thing, and it's also mental. Go on. 1 Samuel 17:4-7 with Goliath.
And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and his target of brass between his shoulders. And his staff and his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear had weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield was good for him.
All right, so here's a man. He's 9 feet 6 inches tall. I'd say he had some physical capacities. All right, he had some physical abilities. He was a warrior. He was a champion. And he was intimidating. All right, go on. Acts 19:24-25.
For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation, and said to them, you know that we have our prosperity in this trade.
Okay, so here you're looking at someone, and I put it up with the barbells because I used the other one with the brain, but using physical capacities, it refers to athletics, hand-eye coordination, muscular strength, dexterity, mobility, agility. And it deals with the physical, working with the hands. And there are, by the way, there are mechanics and so forth. This is what it would be. You're looking at individuals who have jobs in the physical realm. And we oftentimes call these the blue-collar jobs. Now, nobody should ever feel any less important if they have a blue-collar job, because you're very important. Matter of fact, in the trade industry today, there are less individuals going into. When I say trade industries, like, say, building, construction, you have masons. Those are the ones involved in cement and block laying. Carpenters, finished carpenters, plumbers, electricians. There are fewer and fewer that are really entering it, and the older ones are retiring and everything else. You know what that's going to mean? That means those jobs are going to be not only in demand, but supply and demand, they're going to be making buku bucks. Yeah. And you need an electrician as much as you need an architect. Okay? Because if you have an architect, he may know how everything all fits together. But physically how to do it, he may not be able to. Mechanical ability. Growing up in my house, my older brother did not have much mechanical ability. He'd probably tell you that. And there were times where he and I would, you know, he'd ask and I would start accumulating tools. And I learned how to, you know, work on things and do things. So I would help in that area. And it was never a competition. I never said, oh, you know, pay me this or no. It's just something that was there. There were some physical capacities that was there. I look around this room here and you have physical capacities. And it's a wonderful thing. I'm looking even at what you do on your jobs. And, you know, it's a great thing. And the key, too, is as well, even as was stated, we're looking at what God has given to us so we can glorify God. We're not looking at what God has given to us so we can compete with other people, or what God has not given to us so we can be envious and jealous of other people. And it's all depending on your perspective. God has given me this ability to do what? To glorify His name. Okay? So you have the physical. Now, the third area is social. There are social characteristics that reveal themselves in personalities. Aren't you glad there's I don't want to say multiple personalities. That's not quite the word I want to use. Well, maybe. Aren't you glad, though, that people's personalities aren't all the same? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. There's only one Troutman. And even sometimes that is too many. Because of my personality, there are times my personality is just, some people love it, some people hate it. And the same thing, I look around the room and your personalities, everybody's different. Some are quiet, some are boisterous, some are melodramatic about everything, and then there's others who are so even killed. You know, and there's just differences of personalities. But those personalities, God gave you that. God gave it to you. And so when you think about this, Exodus 18, I know it's a little lengthy passage of scripture, but that's, I believe, referencing Jethro when you look at his ability to help Moses when it comes to managing. Let's go to 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. Jack, how about if we go to Daniel 1, 8 and 9? Gary, how about if we come over, Mary, Acts 4, 37. So when you're looking at various personality skills and different kinds, just remember something. God made you uniquely individual, but the key is what he has given to you and how has he equipped you and how he has made you is for his glory. And always bear that in mind, because that will keep you from being so frustrated, that'll keep you from being envious and jealous. And it will cause you to thank God for your fellow believers in Christ who have what they have. It's interesting. Growing up in my house, my mother was an excellent pie maker. Oh, she made the best pies. But for the life of her, she could not make a cake. She always, all the cakes either rose like a mountain or they were flat or this and that. So I started thinking about myself. I'm going to try to make cakes. And this is before box cakes. You would appreciate this. And there was one that we really loved. It was called a wacky cake. It was chocolate. It had cocoa and all this stuff. And my mom would say, well, that is really good. So the whole family was able to enjoy it. She said, you're usurping me and you're making me look bad because you're making cakes and I can't make cakes. What do you think you're doing? She didn't do that. She thanked. And my older brother didn't really eat anything I made. But it was something that was wonderful. Now, I know there, and I use that as an illustration. I'm looking at Trista, and she makes great cakes. And others look and say, I can't make a cake. All I do, I even mess up a box cake. All I have to do is put this, and it just does. Okay. Is that okay? It has to be okay. Listen to some of the verses. 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2.
David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave Adullam. When his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men.
Yeah, so David developed managerial skill. And part of that was based on his personality. He just had the capacity to work with people. Going on, Daniel 1, verses 8 and 9.
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Wherefore he requested of the prince, the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. But God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince and the eunuchs.
Okay, so Daniel realizes, I cannot defile himself. So he's not belligerent, and he's not arrogant, but he goes with a grace. And so that's part of his social capacity. And how did he get that? Yes, there's a spiritual dynamic as well, but I believe inherently he had that in his own personality. Acts 4:37. And who was that? Barnabas. Barnabas was named such. That was his nickname. What does Barnabas mean? Okay, son of encouragement, son of comfort. He was known as someone who had the capacity to encourage, exhort, comfort. He had people skills. Okay, so when you think about that, that's what it is. Does everybody have this? No. Some people have the worst. How many ever gone to a doctor and their bedside manners was less than desirable, right? You ever go to a dentist and they're, you know, your dentist, your mouth is wide open and they want to carry on a conversation with you. And that's okay. But it's like, you know. So there are different people's skills that are necessary for certain capacities. The same thing is true in your families. You probably see this. God has equipped and given. And you know what? Can you change your personality? Some people wish they could, right? How many of you have ever, you know, prayed, Lord, I know there are times I'm whatever, and just help me here. You know, there are times when your personality can be very abrasive. There's times your personality can be very charismatic. There's times your personality can be such where it's very soothing. And whatever it is, learn to utilize it for the glory of God. If you have an abrasive personality, then pray that God helps you to temper it. Or on and on I could go with this. Now, this is usually people who are in sales, or when it comes to, you know, when people hire, say like a Chick-fil-A, when they hire, they know that not everybody should work the register and deal with customers, right? They know that. But then they know that not everybody who's working the register should work in the back and prepare food. And so what they do is they see and look, and that's the skill of a manager, to be able to put people in the right place at the right time. And so whatever the capacities, whatever the talents, whatever the skills that God has given you, be content with them. Bring glory to God through them. And pray this way, Lord, I pray that you help me to use every talent, every ability that I have to your glory. Help me not to be lazy with them. Help me not to waste them on ungodly, evil, Satan's things. And help me to use them to advance the kingdom of Christ. So, those are the natural talents. Any other questions or thoughts? Jim and then Paul.
You were talking about bedside manner and how to do it. And I've noticed part of that talent is knowing how to apply that bedside manner. I'll give you an example. My wife had cancer. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine had cancer. They had the same oncologist. Mm-hmm. With my friend, he was very direct. Mm-hmm. Straightforward. Boom, 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 boom. Almost crazy. Just like that. Mm-hmm. With my wife, he knew to be more gentile.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And apply it because realize that what she needed. She was looking for the comfort. The other woman's just like, okay, what's my diagnosis? What's the prognosis?
Yep.
And whatever. So how do you manage that talent with different people is also very important.
Yeah, if you're in a people type of job, that is so necessary. And reading and knowing what people, because that's being diplomatic when you need to and being direct when you have to. Like a pastor. Right? I can go into stories, but I won't. Paul.
Go back to point three.
Yeah.
Physical activities. How do we reconcile the professional athlete? They are so, from football, I can say that those guys are so exceptionally gifted and talented at their craft. It's not that the mean, the carpenter, the pay scale is wild.
Yeah.
And how are we, by watching pro athletes, are we idolizing and glorifying? Or we're not glorifying them and not God? That's, you know, like a...
Well, put it this way. If God has given a young man, a young lady, physical ability to compete on an athletic field, or a baseball diamond, or a basketball court, or a hockey rink, and they are exceptionally good, great. It's a market-driven thing. And when it comes to multi-million dollar contracts, you know, I don't know, but for a guy to stand and take this leather ball and throw it 40 times a game and complete 60% of the passes, right? And yet get $38 million a year. Like 60% completion rating. Okay, well, that's pretty good. A weatherman. They can be predicting the weather and be right, you know. But if that is the case, okay, so be it. Now, if I watch him, sure. I'm an Eagles fan, but I'm not going to you know, I'm not going to miss church for it. I'm not going to miss my Bible devotions for it. I am not going to place them in the place of or instead of God. If I do, then that's when I become out of line.
Yeah.
Because I could do the same thing. I could go down to the Humdew ice cream place and I could admire how they scoop the ice cream, put it in cones, and I could, wow, man, this is awesome. You know, but...
You have a professional athlete, and then you have a fighter pilot who's no less gifted.
And that is true. Yeah, there have been, it goes to the fact that I look at people and I'm going to thank God for what he's given to me, what other people have, and how other people use it. It's beyond my control. And if they're an unbeliever, sure, they're going to probably seek the, there's going to be areas of ethics and moralities and such that go along with all those things. Well, there are areas where, you know what, when it comes to, yeah, I thank the Lord he can fly a helicopter. I get in there and I wouldn't know what to do. I'd crash the thing, I could barely get it off the ground. Or when it comes to looking at other jobs, in crunching numbers and what Alex does as an actuary or what Michael does with IT or what Paul does with transit or on and on I could go looking around the whole room. If I missed you, it's not on purpose. But there's just certain things that I'm glad everybody has what skill they do. And we realize, Lord, I'm not going to compare myself with other people. You've given me these skills, whether it's physical, mental, social. And if I don't have certain ones, that's fine. But what I do have, I'm content with. Because that's the way you made me, Lord, and you didn't make any mistakes. So I've got to maximize that to the praise of your glory. Does that make sense? Yeah. So moving forward, what about spiritual gifts? I wanted to use the lion's share of the lesson for this. Spiritual gifts, all right? So God has graced you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, the first part of the lesson was general. That's everybody. But the second part of the lesson is for you as believers in Jesus Christ. So there are some specific spiritual gifts that he has given to you. And we find when we look in 1 Corinthians, so we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these gifts are designed to enable believers to do what? To advance his work, specifically the church. Whereas your general talents, yes, glorifying God and advancing his kingdom, but these gifts have been specifically given so that you are to advance the work, and I should have wrote specifically his church. Maybe you want to add that, because these gifts are in the context of, in the framework of the church. Verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Who'd read 1 Corinthians 12, 1? Who's there for us? Go ahead, you're there? Thank you.
Not concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
All right. Now, it's interesting because verse number 4, go to verse number 4 as well.
Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Okay, and now Ephesians 4, verse 7. Can I ask somebody to go to Ephesians 4, verse 7? Amy, while she's turning there, when you look at the word gifts, it's the same English word. However, the language in the New Testament has three different words for them. The 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one gift is pneumatikos, which refers to spirit. It could actually be translated spirituals. That which is spiritually oriented, that which deals with Holy Spirit working, that which is in God's realm. Okay? In verse number 4, that word is charismatos. What does that sound like to you? Charismatics. And what are the charismatics as a group known for? Main thing they're known for is what? Yeah, speaking in tongues, the ecstasies, all those, wow, just exciting and emotional and all those things. That's what they're known for. That's where they get this from. Now, Ephesians 4, 7.
But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift.
Okay, gift. This is a different word. It's dorias. It refers to the kind of giving that highlights the beneficial desire of the giver. Freely given. It's not none of these gifts, by the way, are sought after. I remember talking to somebody who was in the charismatic movement, if you will, and they were saying, how many gifts are you operating in right now? I said, what do you mean? Well, I'm praying for this next gift. I've got 8 of the 9 gifts. And I said, oh, you do? I said, can I ask you a question? Where in Scripture would you tell me I need to seek after and search for these gifts? Because it never does. The Holy Spirit distributes these gifts as He chooses. And that's why a lot of people want to seek these gifts, because they're putting an emphasis on me. I want to look this. That's why the whole controversy of tongues, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, Paul has to deal extensively with the misuse of the gifts.
And also, he sent me gifts that are no longer available.
That we're going to get to.
Like you said, tongues and other things.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to get to that. But when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's certain, now going to the next word, there are different administrations. The word administration means ministries. And you see the word there, diakonos? It's talking, that's the same word that's given to deacon. It's a servant ministry. The word operations, we get our English word energy from that. And when you look at spiritual gifts, now catch us for a moment. The spiritual gifts that God imparts are all Holy Spirit disseminated, Holy Spirit of God distributed, and Holy Spirit of God empowered. If you're praying that God gives you a certain gift, you don't need to. Stop. It's already been decided. God will give you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, what gift He determines you to have. And just like He created you with a personality, just like He created you with thinking skills, just like He created you with physical capacities, you must be content with the way that God has done things. Otherwise, you're not only going to frustrate yourself, but you're going to frustrate others with you. That's why, getting back to the hand-foot illustration, the hand has to accept the fact that it's a hand. The foot has to accept the fact that it's a foot. The eye has to accept the fact that it's an eye. It's the way God designed you. Doesn't do you any good to complain or hope and wish that it would change, because that's the way it is. Go ahead.
That was clear.
Verse 12, or yep. Chapter 12, verse 31 says, look up earnestly to that gift.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So, where do we
covet earnestly the best gifts. Go to chapter 13, verse 1.
Right.
Says what? Read that, if you could, please.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become sound of grass and earth, sampling something.
All right. So what he is doing, he's setting it up that he's saying we covet, we not are looking at it to get it, but we're looking at it to use it. Okay? And if you have a gift and you aren't utilizing it in the spirit of love, then no matter what gift you have, it is absolutely detrimental to the cause of Christ. And even for yourself, it's not real love. Because remember, these spiritual gifts were given to you to be used in the church and is to be manifesting the work of God with each other. It's a collective thing. You know something? That's why the church is so necessary. That's why the church has to be understood as not an activity or like a Sunday morning, a service to attend. That's what the church is. No, we're coming to a church building, and we're coming to church services, and we're functioning as a church body knit together. We need each other. That's why we don't forsake the assembly. I pray earnestly that everybody looks and says, you know what? I need Sunday school. My kids need it. I need Sunday nights. I need Wednesday. And Pastor, I could really use a Monday too. I'd be here if you're the only one. Because we get to the point, because, you know, the church body is a collective knit together group of people. If people look and say, I don't need the church, well, then you're committing the exact same thing that 1 Corinthians 12 says. I don't need the body. I don't need the eye. Yes, you do. And guess what? We all need each other. So if my church family is gathering together, and I'm like what Paul was saying, all right, so the Eagles are playing the Super Bowl this year. Hey, Pastor Matthew, can you preach? I want to stay home and watch the Super Bowl. What would you think? Pastor, but it's okay for others? The church needs to be together, the collective body of believers, because the gifts are used within the framework of the church to advance the cause of Christ. I saw a hand over here, then over here. Yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah. Just wondering, would you say that there are times when we all need to express all of these gifts? Like, I might not have the gift of teaching, but I might teach, my grandkids are in the cause of Christ. Like, there's going to be a time when I might teach. I don't know. I just feel like we can
yes and no.
Exhibit some of those gifts.
Yes, you can.
Naturally, it may not be something we do all the time, but
yes.
We all need to be ready to utilize some of those gifts, whether we're necessarily we have the gift of. Yeah, okay, so we have the gift of serving.
Okay.
Maybe not, but you should serve.
When you look over here.
Yeah, okay.
And what you're talking about, every believer should be giving, right? But there's a spiritual gift. I mean, the scriptures, Jesus is in the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things I commanded you. We're all teaching in some way. When it comes to leadership, there are leaders, but there are certain giftedness that propels that one level higher. And it gives, now catch this for a moment, if God has given that spiritual gift, that gift of giving or that gift of mercy, then that means you are responsible and obligated to utilize it to the maximum for the opportunities that are presented to you. So if in a church service, you can utilize in that, but you're not here, then the other person isn't benefited and the body of Christ is not functioning fully. And that's why, again, it's more than the church services. It's between, after, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, everything else. Because we are in church wherever we go. So to your point, yes, there are general expected behaviors of the believer. But then God, through the Holy Spirit, has given certain believers an endowment or a greater capacity. Does that make sense? Okay. And you figure out, you say, well, people, there's been charts and there's been surveys for people to figure out their gifts. I say this. If you're filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, you will automatically and supernaturally just utilize that gift. It'll come out. But if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're filled more with yourself, and you're more concerned about self and when it comes to the church, you can fall into the Harold Camping mode. Remember the late great, I don't want to give him greatness, but the late Harold Camping, who came to the point at one time said, we don't need the church anymore. There are believers who are now, you know, they believe that. I don't need church. I don't need church services. I don't need church people. God, that's not what God says. That's a lie from the devil himself. We need each other. And so much tomorrow as we see the day approaching. And that's why we use, and today, you're gathering together today here, you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be able to use your gifts, whether you see it or not, it's going to come out. I saw Sean and then Eric, and we're going to have to go to part two next week. I was really hoping we didn't have to, but nevertheless, it's worthy of our time and attention because we really got to deal with this. Sean, you were going to say.
It sounds like you're applying these principles, especially the metaphor of the body, to church, specifically heritage, that's what I'm hearing. Does the metaphor of the body extend to church, local, universal? Church?
Oh, yeah.
And all that implies, in other words, we need the Pentecostals, we need the charismatics. They're the hands, they're the foot, they're the ugly toe, but we need them as one body. How far does that principle expand?
Only in the realm of believers in Jesus Christ. Because there can, yeah, I believe that every believer in Jesus Christ makes up the overall family of God, the church. But that church has not yet met. It doesn't meet together. That church does not have, you know, tithes and offerings. The church doesn't have the Lord's Supper. The church doesn't have, that church doesn't have baptism. So that's why God, in the use of the overall big church term, he's working with local churches. Church in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2. Church in Antioch, Acts chapter 11. Of the 115 usages, or 118 usages of the word church, ecclesia in the scriptures, I think all but three refer to the local assembly. And there is, and if I can say, now I'm not targeting you, but there are those who are looking and saying, you know, it's the greater emphasis on the larger, the macrocosm, as opposed to minimizing the emphasis on the local church. And you know something? That's a great danger. Because then we emphasize this, and we lose sight of this, which God is working through us as we meet together, as we assemble together, as we utilize our gifts together, as we give our tithes and offerings together, as we pray together. But it doesn't isolate. It doesn't mean that Heritage Baptist Church is the only church. We're one part of the whole big picture. Yes, he is.
I believe so.
We have to be careful not to keep that contextualized. Mm-hmm. He's addressing a specific body with specific gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And that we should be careful in applying that to us, to the church global.
Well, if that's the case, then I don't think that it would be incorporated into scriptures for our benefit and for our use. So how then would we use what Paul is writing to the Corinthians for us? If it's localized to them and it doesn't mean that we should learn or we should be benefited by it, then why is it even there? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. And all these things were written for our learning. So I believe that the things that are written to local New Testament churches in Corinth, Colossae, Philippi, there are principles, examples, and exhortations that are for you and me. Lest we fall into some of the same errors that they did. And therefore, what is here is not just, otherwise we could say the same thing in the Great Commission. Jesus Christ gave the 12 disciples, 11, the Great Commission. All right, so that's up to them. So we have no responsibility because he gave it to them. Well, if that's the case, then none of us would be here. So we take the scriptures, we take what is written to the churches, and we apply those principles and apply those examples and apply those commands to us personally. And that's why when it comes to these spiritual gifts, if it intended for just these believers, then would spiritual gifts be given to any other believers outside of Corinth? Okay. Does that help?
Yeah. I think it'll be lots of questions
about
this coming up too.
Yeah, next week. Yeah. Because there are some gifts that are temporary. There are some gifts that are positional. And there are some gifts that are continual. And so for right now, we're going to have to just stop and before we get into the morning hour. So I know there's other questions. Can you hold them for next week? All right. We'll pick it up right here and next week and maybe get into the next of our study. But this is worthy of consideration because this is one of the issues when it comes to spiritual gifts that certain groups, certain churches, certain places have gone extra biblical and have actually gone anti-biblical, and therefore let the scriptures compare with scripture so that we can get a good understanding and a good handle on this, this called spiritual gifts. Father in heaven, thank you that your word is of no private interpretation, but that we compare scripture with scripture, we can see what you would have for us and how you would have us to utilize what gifts, talents, and abilities ultimately for your glory. And when it comes to these spiritual gifts, yea, Lord, within the framework of your church. Because the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we understand that the dynamic of the church, the planting of churches, the establishing of churches, and the making of disciples, it is your program for this day and age. So help us, Lord, to be able to maximize these gifts that you've given us for the cause of Christ, for the advancement of the kingdom, and yea, Lord, for the building up of the church. In Jesus' name I pray it all. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.